Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome again to Pneumaticos. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I am your host for this morning. And today our discussion will be about the importance of having a healthy spiritual life as exemplified by the control of the tongue. And so we have entitled this show, "For Enduring Spiritual Health, Let the Spirit of God Control Your Tongue." I'm going to be reading, first of all, from Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," notice the emphasis here, "the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." I'm also going to be reading to you this morning from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. So in Proverbs chapter 18, I'm going to read verse 21. "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." One of the main reasons that the name Pneumaticos was chosen for this show is because of the emphasis on spiritual growth. The emphasis is upon obtaining spiritual maturity. It is important that as born ones, or those who have been made new by the Spirit of God, that we seek to grow up in understanding our faith. And therefore, what it means to be a child of the living God. Paul writes that we have received the spirit of adoption. And so we truly do belong to God. And now that we belong to God, we serve Him. Moreover, God wants those who name the name of Christ to depart from iniquity. That is, we are to become clean vessels fit for the Master's use. But I cannot be a clean vessel, and I cannot be fit for the Master's use if my heart is not right. Now, God has provided the way for me to have a clean heart. When my heart is not clean, then I will produce that which Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, which he calls the works of the flesh. If, on the other hand, the Spirit of God is controlling who I am, if the Spirit of God is controlling my heart, if the Spirit of God is controlling my actions, then I am growing in faith. I am walking by faith and not by sight. One of the biggest obstacles that the people of God face collectively in mass is the problem of the tongue. The tongue is given much information in Scripture. That is, the biblical documents have a lot to say about the tongue. What it produces, if it is used in a wrong manner. Serious, very serious events are unleashed when words are thoughtlessly uttered, or when words are used as a weapon in order to create the most heinous, the most destructive results in the lives of others. God designed us as creatures who are capable of making very complex symbols, and words are symbols. And the symbols that we call words have values. We grow up within a culture, and so we receive certain values from the words within our particular culture. We define ourselves in terms of culture, that is, in terms of the words we hear and the association that particular words have. We live in a cosmology of symbolic meaning. The Bible has very pertinent information to share with us about the importance of understanding words and their destructive power as well as their healthy power. Now, the book of Proverbs is a very important document. And in the Hebrew Bible, Proverbs is called Mashal or Meshal. The Proverbs emphasize wisdom as foundational for success in life. Indeed, the term Proverbs is a transliteration of the Hebrew word Mashal, which literally means superior mental action for successful living. And there is considerable evidence in Proverbs to demonstrate the dynamic synergy of the spiritual and the emerging paradigms of science and biobehavioral medicine. The Mashal documents elucidate the power of cognition or thought to create either positive or negative conscious states, or the vital necessity of choosing healthy thinking over negative and self-destructive thinking. Proverbs 18:21, once again, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Just think about the meaning of these words. The tongue. Think about your experience. Think about in your experience an individual who has impacted your life in a very positive manner. Think about an individual who has encouraged you, who has spoken well of you, who has lifted you up when you felt so bad inside, and you did not feel, in that emotional state, you did not feel like you wanted to keep on keeping on. And God knew what was going on in your heart. And so there was his servant who God placed in your periphery, who blessed you with words of encouragement when you felt so bad about your faith. When you felt so bad about yourself, when you felt so bad about your situation, God used the tongue of the righteous to come alongside as a paraclete tongue to lift you up, to encourage you in Christ. Now that is the healthy tongue, the tongue of the righteous one who has grown up in the faith and who has maybe not experienced exactly what you have experienced, but who has experienced maybe something similar or something that may have been even deeper than what you are facing. See, the saints lift up, the saints encourage one another. And so God wants to use us in that same way to be an encourager. As in the book of Acts, Barnabas was called the son of consolation or the son of comfort. He stepped into controversial situation, and God used him mightily. He was a mature believer. As we go on, I want you to look very closely at the structure of verse 18. The tongue has the power. And the writer very skillfully draws out for us the reality of the power of the tongue. Just think about the tongue. It is one of the smallest organs of the human body. And in some way, it is connected to the speech centers of the brain. Now, I read recently that where scientists hitherto previously believed that the speech centers of the brain were located has now changed. We will speak about this on another day. In more detail. But the tongue has power, or the tongue is powerful. And so that is the first thought that the writer wants to bring to our awareness, to our consciousness. The tongue has power. The tongue, you know, is the dichotomy. The tongue has the power of life and death. Just think about the words you are hearing today in society. Think about the expletives. Think about the words that are used in order to discourage hope, to take away that which builds up the heart. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The Hebrew word for tongue is lashon. Lashon, it is a masculine noun, and the root is lashan. The root is the verb lashan, and it means to use the tongue in a negative manner. It means to slander. It means to slander. Now, our Western definition of slander reads, slander is the action or crime of making a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation. Once again, slander is the action or crime of making a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation. Now, the biblical definition of slander literally means to stand against the life of one. I want to read to you from the book of Numbers, beginning in chapter 14, Numbers 14, verse 1. I want to read to you a verse that is, or a section of scripture that is illustrative of the tongue's power. Beginning with verse 1. All that night, the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or this desert, Why is the Lord bringing us to the land, this land, only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land of Tor, their clothes, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear about it. By your power, you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. They have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people, and that you, O Lord, have been seen face to face, that your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put these people to death all at one time, the nations who have heard this report about you will say, the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land he promised to them on oath, so he slaughtered them in the desert. Verse 20. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Now one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb had a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and Canaanites are living in the valley, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites, so tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Verse 36. So the man Moses sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men, responsible for spreading the bad report about the land, were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh survived. In your text, the word bad report is from one, the words bad report are from one Hebrew word, debach, which means to utter a slander. And it also means defamation. So, I want you to see from what we have written to us in Numbers 14, the very destructive power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. In Numbers 13, beginning at verse 31, we read that the man who had gone out with him said, "We can attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report or slander about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Those spies who brought back this negative report, this negative military reconnaissance report, were mired in unbelief. Their false thinking about the land created an attitude of defeat in the people of God. And this is always the consequences of lie-based thinking. These men were unable to see divinely given opportunities. And so those who are given to lie-based thinking seek to close the door to healthy spirituality, which is centered in Christ, which is centered in trusting God. They seek to close the door on others. Their unbelief spreads at an alarming rate. And they take away the fervor, the vitality. They take away the moistness from the bones, that is, the youthfulness. And they dry up. And they like to see others wither spiritually. And so it is important that we are watchmen on the wall, and we watch very carefully for those who seek to disrupt or to undermine the spiritual growth of those young ones who truly have a heart for God and who believe God Paul told the Ephesian elders that Paul said, I know that after my departure, certain ones will rise up from among you. They will be wolves in sheep's clothing, not sparing the flock. Unbelief looks back to the slavery of the old life. And so through slander, through uttering a slander against the character of God, these unfaithful ones sought to undermine the divinely given opportunities of those who would have moved forward in their faith if it had not been for their immaturity and their susceptibility to listening to words that crush. Words can crush. Words can break the heart. And so these negative ones broke the hearts of the congregation. And a congregation in the wilderness began to weep as the spirit of defeat spread throughout the community. I want you to take a look with me in, once again, in Numbers 14, verse 5, beginning at verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole assembly gathered there. And I'm going to read now in verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. I want you to notice the relationship between rebellion and fear. 1 John 4:18. Look at the relationship between rebellion and fear. Look at what this slander against the character of God created in the lives of God's people. And how the enemy can use one person or a group to carry forth his plan so that the saints do not grow. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. For enduring spiritual health, let the Spirit of God control your tongue. We seek to be instruments of righteousness, or that should be our proper vocation before God, that we seek to grow up in the faith so that we can be used by Him to help stabilize those who are growing in faith. I want to read now from Isaiah 36. In Isaiah 36, we read in verse 1, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. When the commander stopped at the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to washerman's field Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shibna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, went out to him. The field commander said, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says, on what are you basing this confidence of yours?" And notice the context once again. The Assyrian army had attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. The Rabshakeh goes to speak to these leaders, and I want you to notice very carefully how his words are arranged and what he wants to communicate to the king. This is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says: on what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look now, you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. And if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar? Come now, make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses, if you can put riders on them. How then can you repulse one officer of the least of my master's officials, even though you are depending on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Furthermore, have I come to attack and destroy this land without the Lord? The Lord himself told me to march against this country and destroy it. Just think about that message. Once again, a slander is uttered against the character of God. The taking of fortified cities by the Assyrian Empire should have created the greatest fear, terror even, and anxiety in the heart of the people of God. This message that Hezekiah gave was designed to undermine spiritual confidence. This is psychological warfare. The evidence of the cities of Judah that have been attacked and captured gave poignancy and urgency to this message that should have been taken to heart by the people of God. Chapter 37, verse 1, when King Hezekiah heard this message, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. I want you to see the action of the king. there's evidence that something terrible has taken over the land. There is this terrible message that has been sent, and the king, in grief, tore his clothes and went and talked to God. And King Hezekiah, in verse 5 of chapter 37, and King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master," that is King Hezekiah, "this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard," that is the slander. "Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." Next time on Pneumatikos, we will continue the study on the tongue. We complete the study from Isaiah 36, and we will take a look at the results of what the king did, what King Hezekiah did, and the message that Isaiah gave to the officials to give to the king. Beloved, today I want you to begin to listen to God in your hearts and know that if there is something that needs to be changed about the way the tongue is used in your life, bring that before God and you will experience a wonderful change in your spiritual disposition, in your spiritual health. If it is your desire to have a real relationship with God, then go before God and talk about the way you have used your tongue. Bless you. I look forward to meeting you next time again on Pneumatikos. Have a wonderful day.